I was told by my father about my first entrance, as he was about to make his last exit. Conceived on the 11th of November 1918, I'm the result of one joyful, victorious night. Yet I was the last thing my parents had expected or wanted. Roland, my father, and Avice, my mother, had reached a sophisticated and amicable trial separation when they bumped into one another by chance when celebrating V-Day amongst the jubilant crowds in Piccadilly Circus. I don't know if it was the heady atmosphere of victory or some nostalgic rekindled passion which drove them into that fateful connubial embrace, but 9 months later it produced an unwanted, instantly demanding and very noisy consequence. One, John Devon Roland Pertwee, me. John after the apostle and disciple, Devon after the county, and Roland after my father. For some months after my birth, I led a happy, useful, and productive life, lying in the nude on an Astrakhan rug, eating coal, preferring, I'm told, the nutritious Welsh seam to the devitaminized anthracite nut. This will show that even at that tender age, I was an infant of taste and discernment. My mother, however, having taken a good look at me, and presumably not liking what she saw, divorced my father for his best friend, a romantic Frenchman named Louis de la Gare, and, albeit temporarily, left the lives of my brother Michael and me. With he and I now being left motherless, it was decided that we should go and live with my granny in Caterham on the Hill, Surrey. My grandmother was a dear, plump Victorian lady who lived with her bachelor son Guy, spending winters in the townhouse in Camden Grove, Kensington, that my father had bought her, and summers in the country house in Caterham. Uncle Guy was a dear, kind, 6 foot celibate, with the hereditary nose of the Pertwees, referred to in the family as the Beezer. My father, Roland, used to visit us regularly at Caterham. He was the younger brother of my Uncle Guy, and another typical Pertwee, a tall, rangy man with bat ears, sharp features, and that Beezer again, and a very ready wit to match. I don't remember my father ever showing me an overabundance of affection, not that it was really expected in those days when parental love seemed to manifest itself in merely providing for one's children according to one's financial means and status. I shall always remember him as a somewhat remote figure who stepped in and out of my childhood shrouded with a vague indifference. Later, when I was working in Brighton Rep, he maintained this remoteness in a most classic way. We were doing his successful murder mystery, Interference, and to the anticipatory delight of the company, he agreed to come down and see the play. That night I peered through the front tabs until I found him sitting by himself in the dress circle, and duly told the anxious cast that he was indeed in front. Imagine my dismay when after the show he failed to come round backstage and I was left tearfully yet angrily alone in my dressing room, the rest of the company doubtful of the truth of his actual presence having left. The next day I plucked up courage and rang him. "So sorry, old chap. I couldn't make it. Too busy, you understand?" Of course, I didn't understand, and never will. But I suppose in his own strange way, he had shown me more than a little concern and interest in my abilities as an actor by going down to Brighton at all. The recollection of him sitting there alone and his denial of it will remain with me always.